Technorama episode 534, Sphincter Rising.
Good morning, folks. This is your captain speaking.
Technorama.
Remember when?
Technorama.
On this day in tech history.
Tech.
And now, the news.
Tech.
What the chuck?
Technorama.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
I want to fly like an eagle to the sea. Fly, let's be.
Let over my, there.
I
in
wasn't
the media
done.
Corner.
Technorama.
Hold my beer and watch this.
Unfasten your seatbelts and disregard all safety rules. Here are your flight crew, Chuck and Craig.
I knew I should have just spoken the words like William Shatner.
Yeah.
I want you to fly like an eagle to the sea. Right.
Welcome to Technorama. This is the show that takes a lighthearted look at tech, science, sci-fi, and everything's geek. If this is your first time joining us, welcome. Thank you. We appreciate it. Bada boom, bada bing. If you're returning, welcome back. We appreciate giving us your time once again. My name is Chuck Tomasi, and with me as always is the one and only Craig Stepp. How are you, Craig?
Hola, ¿qué pasa? Welcome to Technorama.
And how have you been? It feels like we haven't done this in about a year and a half.
I know. It seems like we take a few weeks off and internet time must have crept in because it feels like it's been, yeah.
Well, we had a conference for work. Well, we recorded that one where you were in studio. That was the last one we did, 533, where you were in studio.
That was the last, I guess it was, wasn't it?
And then we went to Europe, so there were two weekends shot right there. And then you had something come up last weekend. So we're back for now.
Yeah, for now.
And if somebody's listening to these in consecutive order on their playlist, they're not going to know. It just doesn't matter. It is what it is, and time has no meaning in the internet.
Yeah, no, not merely, no.
I understand you did a little tech support for your son. You have to share that on the show.
Yeah, I don't want to embarrass him too much, but that's what
dads do. Come on.
Yeah, so I'm sitting, you know, I use my computer as my TV and stuff because I got a widescreen. I'm sitting here. It's about 11 o'clock and I'm watching. Oh, I know. I threw up Thor Ragnarok and I was watching the Hulk
scene. You threw up?
No. I was watching the Hulk scene and all of a sudden he walks in and it's like I said, about 11 o'clock. Hey, Dad, I got this. My machine, the Windows audio service, is eating up 20% of my CPU.
Did he try Googling an answer?
Well, yes, actually. In his defense, he did.
Oh, okay.
Probably installing the drivers and da-da-da-da-da. He installed the most recent creators update, and he was going through the process. He was actually doing pretty good, but he uses a USB headset. And the USB headset, I think when you install the drivers, they had another device that said speakers, but there's no speakers.
Uh-huh.
You know, it's just a USB thing. Anyway, I figured out I just disable it, and everything went back to normal. The headset works, but that phantom device is what was killing it.
So, how long did that take you to figure out?
About an hour. You know, because I'm like, okay.
So now it's midnight.
Yeah, I'm like, where do you start? And I start looking at the driver. So it's about midnight. I finally figured it out, and I'm like, fine. Got it. So we were good.
You didn't like roll over and say, oh, put in a ticket. I'll get to it in the morning.
It crossed my mind. With no ticket.
Someone will return your call in the next business day.
Yeah. I didn't mind helping him because he actually tried his best first.
Okay. He tried. That's the important thing.
Yeah, but I'm, you know, I'm just like a captive audience. Like I'm in my own house and they're asking me for support.
You have no choice.
Yeah.
Does it have to be done right now?
Why don't you read a nice book?
Did you make sure you locked the door so he didn't like walk in on you and Kim?
Huh?
You weren't like in a private moment, were you?
No. I said I was at my computer watching Thor Ragnarok. There's no private moment there.
My inner Michael Butler's coming out.
Hey, you know what? Chris Hemsworth is kind of nice looking, but no.
Oh, dude. We're just gonna turn this into Mad at Dad 2, I guess.
Yeah, you saw Infinity War where they were like, Drax was like, "You're a man." He is, you know, anyway, you know, you've been eating too much.
I will go with the rabbit.
He's been called a fox, a rabbit, every critter on the ground.
You know, the writers are just having fun with that. All right. Shall we begin? We have some feedback.
Yes, let's move along.
All right. Feedback. We have feedback. We have feedback.
Yeah.
I love this song.
Letters. Oh, we get letters. We get your letters every day. Mailman, mailman, mail today. Reach right in and pull one out. Those letters. I love those letters. Let's find out what you've got to say.
Oh, boy.
Mailman, mail today.
All right.
You want to take this one?
Sure.
Read away.
Where did it all go? There was more to it. Anyway, John Miller Jr. Wrote in, and this is related to the story about the FBI wanting to reboot everybody's router. He said, had somebody brought up the story about how the FBI was asking all users with routers to reboot them to help minimize the spread of a botnet? I've included the links of three stories, but I wanted to know your thoughts on these stories. Rebooted mine. Figured it wouldn't hurt.
It's part of the GDPR.
The what?
It's part of GDPR. Reboot your router.
Yeah, right. I actually did reboot mine because I did look around and the story looked legit. But yeah, the story goes that there was some software, I guess, that was able to hack in on some routers that had certain firmwares. And it was enabling a botnet. So, yeah, reboot your router. Apparently the...
Set the password.
Yeah, set the password for sure.
Don't leave it as admin.
Or password or whatever the default one is for whatever your router.
Yeah.
But yeah, be careful with that. But apparently the from what I was gathering is that the software is just in runtime. It's not like you can't... They didn't write it to the firmware. Because if you reboot it and it was on the firmware, it would just... not matter, right? It would just come back up again. So I assume that it's something that's
gets
that's pushed in and it's just running. That's I never could find quite an answer to that, but I assume that was the case because they asked you to reboot and everything would be all right.
But you did include some nice links to CNET, Fortune, and Snopes about this.
John did.
Okay. Did we find anything in this? Did you learn anything?
That's what I'm saying. Well, I just told you.
Okay. Well, I rebooted mine on necessity. It wasn't related to any of this because I hadn't heard this.
Well, I didn't find an answer to what I was wondering.
Okay.
That if they were actually able to write to the firmware, then rebooting the router is just going to reignite the fire. Right.
And end up rebooting our router about once a week anyway. It just starts getting flaky and weird. And like, hey, how come, you know, the Apple TV works, but the Samsung Smart TV doesn't, or something just really out of character. One computer has problems with one website and rebooting the router somehow fixes it.
Well, our cable company uses Aeris and we have an Aeris cable modem. It has a router, it's our router in all effect. And I use it, but I don't use the wireless. And I didn't see anywhere that Aeris or anything like that was affected. I think it was... mostly from Linksys and Netgear.
Okay.
And some Cisco.
Those are two major ones.
Yeah, and Cisco. It says, I'm not sure about Cisco. I'm sorry. I'll take that back. But at least they mentioned Linksys and Netgear. But now I reboot mine every once in a while. I don't really have a big problem with it slowing down or acting funny. Because I use my wireless. I got a Google Wi-Fi, which is separate.
Right.
So there's... only traffic is going out in the modem. I'm not using it as a wireless router either. When I did notice it would slow down. I have to reboot it more often, but not anymore.
Anyway, if I get another router, I want to get one with more ports than four. I need a few more hardwire ports than that.
Oh, you know what? I'm happy. I'm super happy with this Google Wi-Fi and each of the access points.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they're all wireless, but they all have an Ethernet port on the back of it. So if you wanted to plug something up to it, you could. Yeah, or get a hub or a router.
Switch.
A little switch. Yeah, they don't really... I guess you can still buy a hub.
But
yeah, get a... No, get a switch. But yeah, you can just plug right on the back of it and you get a connection in there. But I've been super happy with the coverage that the Google Wi-Fi has given me.
All right. Good to know. Hey, should we do our question of the week from last week?
Yes.
Our question of the week, well, last show, said, how many friends have you met in real life that were online only? And we got responses from Tommy Clifford. He says, hundreds, literally hundreds. I believe him. I know this guy. He's like a social media nut. Old high school friend, Tiffany says, wait, what? Isn't that an oxymoron? Sure. Met in real life that were online only? Patty Effort says, a few. Jonathan Strickland from Tech Stuff, from How Stuff Works Network, says, I married one! Online.
You did too, didn't you?
No, Donna and I met in real life, and then the online thing sort of helped us communicate through some of our early years of dating.
Okay.
As we were sending email back and forth on the mainframe. Matt Hines says, I run a 14,000 member online social club, so many. Wow. JT Shea replies, dozens. Mike Wills says, many. Several podcasters included from when I was at the studio. One from Twitter, one from turntable.fm, which is a dead site now, and several from a mailing list at a conference. So, wow, good on you. Keep it in touch. Jennifer Ross says, I still haven't met you, and I'm pretty sure we're related.
Okay.
That'll be interesting. You met your family online.
Yeah. Actually, I could say the same thing. A guy named Shea Step reached out to me a few years ago.
Yeah.
He had been in touch with my uncle, and they had shared a lot of names and stuff and some stories and back and forth. And sure enough, they were related to us, these other steps, but their last name is missing the last E. So I spell mine with a PPE.
Right.
They spell theirs STEPP. And we kind of traced it back to kind of figure out that, you know, way back when, and we're talking like in my great grandparents' era.
I thought you were going to say like back in the 13th century or something.
No, I'm talking like in the 18th or whatever. But they, you know, people were illiterate or didn't spell right or whatever. And so the name got misspelled somewhere. And that's where things kind of develops. I'm sure Shay could probably fill in the history.
A lot of times that would happen when it came over from like another country. Even if you were in the same family sometimes, depending on who was on shift at Ellis Island, they're writing things down. And you say, what is your name? And they say, Steppa. You could have
Welcome, Abraham Lincoln.
Right. You could have. I mean, and there are characters in other languages that don't really translate to English. Right. So they're kind of making it up as they go. That's why you could have Schrader spelled several different ways. You know, Schroeder could be, if yours was Germanic in nature, they could have said Steppa and you could add an SCH, you could have an SH in there. Yeah. You could have just ST. You could have an A at the end. You could have an E. You could have nothing. I mean,
at first, I'll be honest with you. At first, when somebody comes to you and says, hey, I think we're related, you know, I'm like, okay, whatever. But then I started looking at his profile and went, well, his last name's very similar. And I know there's some other steps in this area that spell theirs without the E. And so I was like, okay, maybe so. He doesn't live in my area, but short answer is, it turns out he is related to me. It's pretty cool.
That's cool.
Yeah.
All right. Greg Kleiber says, not many. I'm old school. Bob Alexander, who he used to work with at ServiceNow years ago, says a dozen or so. I try to meet folks when and if we travel to their area. Gary Lindros, friend of the show, says, thankfully many. Justin Deal, also another friend of the show. I was going to say too many to count, but there could never be too many. A ton. And I want to make it a ton more. Craig, well, I'm not sure who this Craig Steppy guy is, but he says, there are literally tens of us, and I think that's in binary, so there'd be two.
Yeah, two. Well, you know, you and I obviously have a big answer to this because...
Us!
Because of podcasting, well, you and I to begin with, but look how many people we've met at the different conventions and stuff. There's no way I could put a number on that, but it's really cool that we met so many people.
Jeremy Olke says, not one yet. Tabs, so many. And Danny Cutler was the last one to respond a little while ago, says, so many, I don't even know. You were one, Chuck. That is true. knew each other from podcasting and then Facebook. And eventually, when I got to Phoenix, we finally had a chance to say hi. It was one of those, I think we were at the con, weren't we? Walking by going, I think that's Danny Cutler over there.
Oh, yeah.
And went by and said hi.
Yeah.
And it wasn't even one of those, you look, has anyone ever told you you look like Danny Cutler? I know you.
You're right. That's funny.
Oh, that was a good time. All right. We are. That's it for this week's question. We'll have another one for you at the end of the show. If you want to write to us or send us a voicemail, or we'll post it on Facebook like we did this one and get some answers out of you that way.
We'll get the answers out of it either way.
That's it for the feedback. We never heard from our listeners, Dave.
Hey, by the way, I think you meant one way or another, we're going to get the answers out of you.
Yes, we are. Any way you like it. Let's do the history thing. On this day in history for June 13, 2018, this is the 164th day of the year in the Gregorian calendar. There are only 201 days remaining. We're almost to that equinox point where the numbers balance out. Don't know if that'll happen this year or not, but let's find out when we get there. It was on this date in 1514 that Henry Gracedieu, at over 1,000 tons, the largest warship in the world at that time, built in the New Woolwich Dockyard in England, is dedicated. Wow, that was a lot of stuff in between that sentence.
Yeah, a lot of words. It was also on this date in 1525 that Martin Luther married Katerina von Bora against the celibacy rule decreed by the Roman Catholic Church for priests and nuns.
I tell you, that Marty guy, he's
trouble.
He's trouble.
Keep your eye on him.
Yeah, you never know what he's going to nail to the church door next.
Yeah.
It was 244 years ago today that Rhode Island becomes the first of Britain's North American colonies to ban the importation of slaves. Not slobs, slaves.
It was also on this date in 1805 that Meriwether Lewis and four companions scouting ahead for the Lewis and Clark expedition sight the Great Falls of the Missouri River.
Not to be confused with Lois and Clark. That was a show we'll talk about later.
Or if you live in Missouri, is it Missouri River?
You know, there's an I on the end, but I'm not going to get into that whole dialect thing yet today.
Yeah, okay.
Aviator Charles Lindbergh receives a ticker tape parade down Fifth Avenue in New York City on this date in 1927. Do you know why?
Why?
Why would Charles Lindbergh get a ticker tape parade?
He flew around the...
That's Earth. What he's best known for, but a little known fact was he also invented Lindberger cheese. I'm just kidding.
Right.
It's a well-known fact. Check the internet.
Sure. I'll look at Snopes in just a minute. It was also on this date in 1966 that the United States Supreme Court rules in Miranda versus Arizona that the police must inform suspects of their rights before questioning them.
Should I
that
tell
them? That explains
should,
what happened when I got pulled
should
over.
Should I tell them, Donna? Okay, little known fact, and this is true. I'm not making this up after that last one. That was a pull your wool over your eyes. The officer who arrested Ernesto Miranda lives right across the cul-de-sac from us.
Oh, really?
Yes. He's not mentioned in the Wikipedia article, but he's not really fond of being known as that guy.
Okay.
So, but that's the story I heard from the guy who lives next door. He said, yep.
So you didn't want to do an interview?
He's not really Technorama material, and he's what, 90 something now. So,
oh, yeah.
41 years ago today, convicted Martin Luther King Jr.
Not the same.
Gotta watch out for that Marty guy.
He's not related to the.
His assassin, James Earl Ray, is recaptured after escaping from a prison 3 days before.
Also, on this date in 1981, at the Trooping the Color ceremony in London, a teenager, Marcus Sargent, fires six shots at Queen Elizabeth II.
Six blank shots.
Six
what was this guy
shots.
Thinking? And don't we know?
Oh, this'll be funny. I don't know.
It was also on this date in 1983 that Pioneer 10 becomes the first man-made object to leave the central solar system and join the Jubilee line. Sorry, that's a London Underground joke. When it passes beyond the orbit of Neptune.
And also on June 13th, 1997, a jury sentences Timothy McVeigh to death for his part in the 1995 Oklahoma City bombing.
It was 8 years ago today that a capsule of the Japanese spacecraft Hayabusa, containing particles of the asteroid 25143... Oh, now I have to change my password again. Itokawa returns to Earth.
All right, and happy birthday goes out on this date to Italian mathematician, cartographer, and astronomer Giovanni Antonio Magniti.
You know, I think I talked to him when we were in Rome a couple weeks ago.
I don't think so. He was
Willie born on 1950.
All right, he was born in 1555.
Maybe we saw his tomb. I don't know. Yeah. Willie Broad Schnell, the Dutch astronomer and mathematician, was born 438 years ago today.
And born June 13th, 1595, Czech physician and scientist Jan Mark Marcy.
Pretty darn good. You're getting better at this, Craig. Got to admit.
Okay.
But it's going to get more fun. Hang on, kids. There's more to go. English physicist and physiologist Thomas Young was born 245 years ago today.
And born June 13th, 1831, Scottish physicist and mathematician James Clerk Maxwell.
Willard Harrison Bennett, American physicist and chemist, was born that same date in 1903.
And Russian mathematician and engineer Losif Vorovich, born on this date in 1920.
Nicely done. Also turning 84 is American computer scientist and engineer Leonard Kleinrock.
And American actor, comedian, producer Tim Allen was born on this date in 1953.
Also turning 56-year-old today is American actress and author Ally Sheedy. Oh, and nerd star of the 80s.
And Russian mathematician...
Did you just squee?
Yeah, a little bit. Russian mathematician Grigory Perelman was born on 52.
He's not related to Ron Perelman, is he? Yeah. Also born on the same date in 1981, American actor and producer Chris Evans.
And American child actress, fashion engineer, or designer engineer. Why did I say that? And businesswoman Ashley Olsen is 32 today.
And you can guess what? Her sister
is
the same age, Mary Kate.
Hey, by the way, I did screw up the Russian name. I think it's Osif.
It's Yosef. Yosef.
Okay. I thought that was an L. Okay.
IOSIF looks like some port you'd find on a computer, doesn't it?
That's what I meant. Yosef. I thought that was an L, and then I went, well, wait, that's a capital I. Oh, well.
Yeah, darn this Helvetica font. You can never tell what's what.
Now, let's do a Times Roman.
All right. Listener birthdays that go out this week. What is it, June? June 15th, Miss Eliza C. from Wingin' It 3D. And by the way, if you try going to the Wingin' It 3D link, you get a...
Forbidden.
I think that's so appropriate.
Yeah. Let's just leave it like that. There you go.
June 16th is Joe Edmison, also Jason from the Angry Geek podcast. Digital Dan from The Hook Show is the 17th. The 18th is Luke Platypus from the UK. Oh, I still remember the time Luke drove down from Birmingham to have fish and chips with me in London a few years ago. Zion Fox from Appleton. Happy birthday on the 18th as well. And Stephen from Wichita, Kansas is on the 19th. If you want to get your name on the birthday calendar, go over to the wiki. Look at that. It's right there on the screen right there. Chuckchat.com/wiki.
In your face.
Get your name on there. And we will give you a shout out at the appropriate time of year. We appreciate it very much. And hope you have a wonderful birthday. If you're not on the calendar, it's a wonderful birthday for you as well. That's the way it was on this day in history for June 13th, 2018. The band left like an hour ago, but we are just having so much fun. We're not going to slow down.
No, we actually made them leave because we can't pay overtime. Just saying. We can't afford it.
We paid them.
Let me tell you about our Patreon.
Like 12 years ago.
Let me tell you about our Patreon. No, I'm just kidding.
To get the band back together? Yeah, that's right. All right. First news up is scientists may have discovered a new fundamental particle, the sterile neutrino. You know, when I was a kid and the first heard about neutrinos, I thought it was some sort of weight loss bar.
Neutrino? No, I thought it was a cereal.
All right. No, that was just... We'll go with that. Oh,
I'm sorry. I was thinking of C-3POs, not neutrinos.
That's not what neutrinos are.
Okay.
All right. From Slashdot, Artem Tushnikov. That's it. Go. Tushnikov. It needs more sigmas, but Fermilab boffins in America are carefully speculating that they may have seen evidence of a new fundamental particle, the sterile neutrino. The suggestion follows tests conducted by the Mini Booney, which is the Mini Booster Neutrino Experiment instrument located near Chicago. Its mission is to detect neutrino mass through their oscillations. In the standard model of physics, neutrinos, like all particles, are initially assumed to be massless. But some observations, like neutrino oscillations, suggest there's mass there. The experiment that's possibly detected sterile neutrinos collected 15 years of data. Wow. From its commissioning in 2002, and the results have only now reached press outlet ARXIV, or RXIV. What is that, R14? AR14? Is that like an AK-14? Never mind.
Sure. Yeah.
Over 15 years, Mini Booney detected, I don't even know if I'm saying that right, but it's just fun to say. Mini Boone?
Yeah. Mini Boone.
Mini Boone? It's like related to Pat Boone and Debbie Boone?
No Boone.
Detected way out in the boonies?
Yeah.
Fermilab used to be way out in the boonies, not anymore. Detected a few hundred more electron neutrinos than were predicted in the standard model theory. The extra particle suggests that there is a fourth, heavier flavor.
Chocolate.
Ben and Jerry's will have it next week.
Yeah, that's right. Did you go to Fermilab's where you went, right?
Yes. Went to Fermilab with Richard Vobes back in 06.
That's a long, wow, 06, look at
07?
That. Long time ago.
Yeah, and unfortunately the audio for that audio tour got lost.
I was going to bring up, wasn't that the lost interview?
That was the lost interview. That was one of several lost interviews we've had over the years.
Some really good ones, but we lost them.
The findings bring Mini Boone team tantalizingly close to a, quote, result. It's a 4.8 sigma result when discovery demands 5 sigma.
Very cool. 15 years. They've been operating. Well, I guess so, because you just said you were there 2006, and
yep,
they've been around for a while.
Yep. Yep. Well, the LHC's been open for quite a few years now.
Well, what is a sterile neutrino? Is that
it can't have babies?
I was gonna say it can't multiply.
Can't make little neutrinos. When a mommy neutrino and a daddy neutrino love each other very much.
Okay. Family show.
You're the one who named the show.
I said it's a family show.
Okay, next. Your turn.
Oh, yes. And this kind of got me excited. NASA has extended the Juno Jupiter mission by 3 years. I'm just going to go out and say, I think it's pretty cool that they're actually able to reuse or continue using longer than the expected lifespan of some of these.
Do you know how they named this?
To my Juno? I assume it has to do with Jupiter, god. What?
They said, what are we going to call this? I don't know. Juno? Wow.
Do you see what I got to put up with?
You did. I expected that from you.
Okay, I'm sorry I let you down. Okay, so the Juno spacecraft currently orbiting Jupiter is supposed to end its mission by crashing into the gas planet next month, but not anymore. It turns out the scientific mission will be extended through at least 2021 so it can meet its goals. As Business Insider first reported yesterday, Business Insider, the magazine website, this will delay the probe's dramatic demise for at least a few years. NASA has approved Juno, the project, to continue through 2022 to finish all of the original planned science.
They have to finish their homework. They have to stay after school.
Okay, I got a problem with this. So if they expected it to crash next month,
yeah,
but they planned all this science, but they like, okay, well, we can extend it for 3 years to do the science. Well, they had no intention of finishing it by the deadline anyway.
We had some extra CPU cycles on our hands. Fire the retro rockets one more time.
Yeah, so NASA approved it to continue through 2022, to finish all of the original planned science. The orbits are longer than planned, and that is why Juno needs more time to gather our planned scientific measurements. Okay. So Juno departed Earth in 2011 and arrived at the gas giant in July 4th, 2016. Since then, it has sent back a host.
A host. Is that bigger than a gaggle?
Yeah.
A A plethora? Like, how much is
more
a host?
Than a handful, but not quite an armful.
Is it somewhere around a janky? we're gonna find that audio clip with the old measurements.
I am waiting for something to
say. A smoot.
Hey, we got a gaggle of scientific information back.
A cornucopia.
Cornucopia. Anyway, so send it back valuable data and has revealed new insights on Jupiter, like the depth of the red spot, three-dimensional views of the gas below the surface, which is pretty cool, how auroras work. It has also delivered some of the best space images ever.
Yes.
So
I used a number of those as the wallpaper on my phone. They're cool.
Hey, I am very excited that somebody's getting some extended tax or money or usage out of my tax money.
I am looking for that measurement thing. There it is. All right. I should be able to play this. Here, this is one of my favorites.
Strange units of measure.
This is very bizarre.
Go is 180 millimeters. A pack year is a cigarette consumption based on one pack a day for a year.
Oh, for crying out loud.
A nibble, typically 4 bits of binary code or half a byte.
Now, I knew that one.
Score, that's 20 of something. A hand, 4 inches of horse height.
Now, wait a minute. So you measure a horse in hands. Do you measure a donkey in butts?
No, a donkey is an ass. A TWIP is 1/20th of a typesetting point.
Wow, I didn't know that one.
This is TWIP, this week in podcasting.
Don't forget about a thrave, which is 24 sheaves of wheat.
Bring in the sheaves, bring in the sheaves.
A shake is 10 nanoseconds.
Yeah, that's like when you're going to detox.
Look, they're shaking at this certain 10 nanosecond frequency.
Yeah, whatever.
A Mickey is a ratio of computer mouse movements to on-screen cursor movement.
Knew that one.
A Jansky is a strength of radio signals from space.
Long time ago.
A butt is 2 hogs' heads or about 126 gallons of boo.
I didn't know that one either.
And smoot is a measure of length developed by some MIT students equal to 5 feet 7 inches, the height of Oliver R. Smoot.
It'll be over in just a moment.
Yeah. And not too soon.
I'm not making this stuff up. There is a smoot.
There's a smoot.
Funny because we did that years and years ago, and I remember Julie remembers some of that stuff. She took it to college.
I think it was
too
funny because we mentioned something, and then we got some feedback that said, "Oh, it's a so and so." And then next thing you know, we had like 20 replies to this about the measurements. I think I remember right. I think it was funny.
Should we continue with the news? We have more space
yes.
news. I like space news. I'm a space guy. Americans think NASA should focus on space exploration. Pew Research Center survey shows. You know, they should really think about renaming their marketing from Pew.
Yeah, I know.
Your data stinks. 7 in 10 Americans think U.S. should remain a global leader in space exploration. 8% think the space station has been a good investment.
80%.
You know, last night was the first time we saw the International Space Station go over without checking the app and without any kind of alert. Donald just looks up and goes, I think that's the space station. And it almost went directly overhead.
Yeah, once you've seen it a few times, it's easy to find. I mean,
it's easy to spot for what it is.
Yeah. Especially if the sun's in the right spot, you can see it pretty well.
Faded out when it hit the shadow. And like, yep, that was most definitely the ISS. Anyway.
You know, not long after I moved into my house, I got an alert that it was coming up. And so I went outside and I'm standing in the street. Because there's, you know, to clear myself for the trees. And
yeah.
Oh, there it is. And my neighbor's like, what the hell is he looking at?
You do your standard pose.
Our neighbor's out in the street. Yeah,
pointing up at the sky in some random direction.
My neighbors were like, what have we signed up for?
He's at it again. Yeah. All right. This is from Inquisitor.com. Private companies like SpaceX, Blue Origin, Virgin Galactic, Boeing, Bigelow Airspace, and Lockheed Martin have outdone governments and embarked on what futurism referred to as Space Race 2.0. In February this year, Elon Musk successfully launched his new rocket, the Falcon Heavy, from the Kennedy Space Center in Florida. As Inquisitor reported at the time, following his company's monumental success, Musk told reporters that he hopes Falcon Heavy launch will inspire the international space race. It may, but most Americans still believe NASA's role will be vital in the future.
Uh-huh.
Pew Research Center published the results of their newest survey today. 72% of Americans think it is essential for the United States to remain a global leader in the space exploration. Furthermore, 80% of Americans think the space station has been a good investment. for this country. Although the media seems infatuated with private companies like Musk's SpaceX, Americans remain traditionally confident in NASA. According to Pew Research Center, 65% of Americans think it is essential that NASA stays involved in space exploration. Only 33% of the American adults think private companies have the ability to ensure progress and explore the space without National Aeronautics and Space Administration's help. Let me read that last part again. Only 33% of Americans think private companies have the ability to ensure progress and explore space without NASA's help. I'm not so sure I buy that.
I don't know. Not in our circles. I know that can't be true.
Well, I trust Pew Researches. I mean Pew Surveys. Mm-hmm. So knowing what we know, this is where we could use Mr. Menengay. He'd have a lot of fun with this one.
Well, if you talk
to the average man on the street, they're probably not that savvy about this stuff.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, this is my view. I for NASA, you know, they're tied to the government. And when we were like, hey, we're going to go to the moon, that's a goal. They had something to work for, and it's great. They're really good at that. But they answer to the government and whatever directives they set. What I also really, I mean, that's great and all. But what I really like is also people like Elon Musk, and he's kind of got a thing going on with Boeing right now. And they're, you know, a little bit of a space race going on there on the private sector. And so they think out of the box, and they got private money to do things that they think are high in the sky. And it's great. That is great in itself, but you're kind of, they don't have any, I mean, they have their own goals and they can kind of make their own goals, but is it like a common goal that we would need, or just another, another spectacle?
It depends what the goal is. It depends what the goal is.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Who sets that goal?
Right.
Private sector where there's their own money, so nobody can give them the direction, or the government where they say, hey, we're going to go to Mars. Okay. NASA start working towards that. What's the best way to go? I don't know. But I think satellites in the air and the space and orbit and doing stuff at the moon, private sector, I think, is definitely the way to go.
I do too. I have every bit of faith in the private sector. I mean, I think NASA's doing great work, but they're going to have to keep up.
Do they need a good directive?
I kind of see this as like the post office versus, you know, UPS and FedEx or DHL. You know, there are private carriers and there's the post office. And the post office has done a good job of keeping up with the times. They haven't become obsolete. They're still a very competitive player in the delivery market. And you know, not to have too close of an analogy, but NASA can be a very competitive player in the delivery market.
Mm-hmm. I just wonder, again, I wonder if we need NASA for the big picture items like going to Mars, and we need the private sector for doing stuff locally. I don't know. Because, you know what I'm saying?
I'm not convinced putting people on Mars is a good investment of our money. We have better things to spend our money on, whether it's private or public.
I'm just using that as an example.
Yeah.
Here's a big goal. You go do it and make NASA work towards that. But I'm just saying, or is the private sector where they're emboldening their own stockholders to make a nice goal and spectacle without any public interest other than, hey, let's just go to Mars like Elon Musk has done.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? What's the best way to handle that?
I don't have an answer for you on that one.
Yeah.
We want to know your story, brave listener. Call us on the listener line. What's the number? 707-530-2428. I remember the beginning. It has been a long time, hasn't it?
Somebody's getting old.
I almost said 800 something, and I wasn't even going to bring up the old number.
Caller number 9 gets in. Yeah.
Yeah. 707-530-2428. That's 707-530-CHAT for chat. You can do it. Give us a call. I think the number still works. We haven't tested in a few weeks. Maybe you can be that brave tester. And let's take a quick break. We'll be right back with a Remember When story and a couple of media corner stories that Oh. We'll make you think. We'll hear your opinion as well. Be right back.
Geek Thoughts.
Garbage in, garbage out. But what about that recycling bin?
Take a facts-based journey through the cosmos with AstronomyCast. Join me, Dr. Pamela Gay, and my co-host Fraser Cain, publisher of Universe Today, as we discuss not just what we know, but how we know it. Topics range from dark matter to why Pluto isn't a planet. Get your episodes today at astronomycast.com or look for us in iTunes.
This is David Levy, amateur astronomer, lover of the night sky, and comet discoverer. You are listening to Chuck and Craig on Technorama.
Yeah, you kind of pick up on the space theme tonight.
I was kind of laughing because Pamela says, take a facts-based journey. I'm like, facts.
Not facts, F-A-X.
Hey, we're running out of paper. Can you resend?
I need a new spool of paper.
Mm-hmm.
I always wanted to send a fax with that starts coming out, and all you see is this little triangle, and it gets a little wider and wider, and then it turns into a necktie, and then you see the guy's face like he got his tie caught in the fax machine.
You know, I did draw. There were times when I drew my own cover pages, and I remember
cover
drawing,
pages. I forgot all about that part of it.
I remember drawing a squashed bug, you know, by hand, and so when it went out the other side, it looked like a squashed bug.
Well, you could do it real easy. You just put your tie on the copy machine.
Like, you know, I draw like a cartoon guy going, you know, like he's.
I wouldn't even do cartoon. I'd do it myself. You put your necktie on the copy machine, copy the necktie, and then you put your face on the platen and cover your face. Yeah. So it comes out.
One time I drew, squiggly lines on it, and the person didn't get it. It was pasta. Duh.
Clinton says, send a cover page that says, one of 427 pages. And then only said three.
We didn't get them all. We turned it off. Funny.
We need to reload the scroll. Shout out to the chat room. We have quite a few people that have been popping in and out tonight. Good to see you. Let me see who's on the watching now list. I got Clinton.
I'm not sure about the watching now thing.
It seems a little suspicious. We did have people that were coming in and out. Jeremy Marcus, who's Donna's nephew, was in there earlier. JT Shea was in there earlier. Christy Hartman. Wow. She kind of popped in. April Merrick McGinnis, old friend of ours. Haven't talked to her in like 35 years. Talked to her just last week, as a matter of fact. Richard Green, formerly from Geek Out with Mainframe. He's still around. Yeah, Scott
Parsons.
He did a
good job
with
that.
Scott
I wish she would pick it back up.
Yeah, that was fun. Joel Harper. Mike Robison, excuse me. I said JTC, right?
Yep.
So a lot of people. Thank you for joining us. Good to see you. Good to hear from you. You know, let's do this. Remember when? I thought this was
Yes. Scott Tyler was here.
Yes,
and my
old
buddy Scott Parsons in there.
I said Scott. Did you mention Scott? Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Scott. The Scotts.
All right. Where's the remember when music? There it is. This is actually this is like 50s, 60s kitschy music, and this article is prior to that. It's how a special paint on the hood of World War II Jeeps protected soldiers' lives.
I thought this was an amazing little story because I had no idea.
Yeah, this is really cool. If you've ever wondered, if you've ever seen a picture of a World War II Jeep with that brown paint between the points of its invasion star, you know, they have that gold star on the hood.
Good.
It was actually special paint, not the white part, but the other part. It was usually like a mustard colored, and you might have assumed it was just aesthetic touch, but it was much more than that. The paint was there to help soldiers keep safe, and here's how. The paint's purpose was to protect against chemical weapon attacks. It's called M5 Liquid Vesicant Detector Paint. A vesicant is a chemical agent that causes blistering. After speaking with avid World War II reenactor, retired U.S. Marine Corps tank mechanic, and connoisseur of World War II Jeep canvases, and also Vesson paint, Feral Fox. That's quite the title. I learned that this paint was actually standardized by the European theaters of operations in 1943. So to sum it up, they had a lot of gas attacks, mustard gas and whatnot, in World War I. So the thought in World War II was, hey, it's likely this is going to happen again. So they came out with this special paint that started out this goldish color. And if there was a mustard gas attack, that it would turn reddish color. It would actually change color in about 4 seconds.
An early warning system.
It was an early warning system because one of the things about mustard gas is it affects your nasal passages and you won't smell it. And it can lead to really serious, nasty things. Messing with your insides, messing with your outsides, blisters, make you blind. It's just nasty, nasty stuff. It's banned. But back then it was a serious problem. So if you'd go, what's that? And then you wouldn't smell anything anymore. Oh, I guess it was nothing. Well, if the hood of your Jeep just turned red, it's time to turn around.
Yeah. there's a picture in the article, and it's actually like a reddish brown. So I guess you'd have to be a little observant because you could probably...
Well, it had to be within eyesight. Yeah. as they were driving along, they were always keeping an eye on the... It was on the front. It said, if it's not available within eyesight, then it had to be painted somewhere else. And it was even to the point where they would paint each other's, they'd use this helmets on their helmets. Yeah. So it's like, hey, Craig, show me your helmet's a little off color.
Chuck's infected. Go that way, Chuck.
Wait, ask Google Maps which way we should go.
And one thing I didn't catch out of this article was how much of an early warning did it give them? Did it actually save somebody's life?
No, because mustard gas was not a big problem in World War II as they thought it would be. So it really wasn't all that it was cracked up to be. And they had to reapply in this is another case of the advertising didn't quite match up with reality. The advertising said, you just need to reapply once every 6 months, when in reality it was more like once every month.
Oh, yeah, that's so right. I did see that.
Thousands and thousands of the 4-ounce cans were produced, and I thought that was pretty amazing stuff. That's early...
pretty ingenious, actually, to come up with something like that.
Exactly.
I was sitting there thinking, what I've thought of... obviously, I'm not a chemical engineer. Your daughter may have. But, I was just thinking, in my thought process, would I have thought of trying to engineer some paint or something to give... early warning? I don't know how...
No, we would have had the one that... It starts out as a star, but as the sun comes up and your car warms up, it changes color. Darth Vader. That's useful.
The one thing I could see envision myself come up with is the inflatable tanks, that look like real tanks from a distance.
I would paint Captain America's shield on the hood of my Jeep.
Oh no, here comes Captain America.
My Jeep's made out of vibranium. Try to blow it up.
When Captain America throws his mighty shield. Remember that?
Wow.
You remember that?
Was that on the Toys That Made Us?
No. It may have been on there. But no, that's from the 60, late 60s Marvel Captain America.
I don't believe I've seen that.
They did a Hulk one, and the Hulk theme was just... ridiculous.
If you haven't seen that show, by the way, if you haven't seen that, I know you have, Craig. I think I have one more episode to go through, but if you haven't seen The Toys That Made Us on Netflix, they've now got another 4 episodes out, which make the 8-part documentary series in the song an actual 8-part documentary series.
Yeah.
Threw me off the first part. It's an 8-part documentary series, and like, hey, there's only 4.
I love that show because there was a lot of stuff I was like, okay, I knew that. Oh, and that kind of filled in the blank. You're like, oh, that's why they did that.
There were a lot of shady business deals going on back then.
You ain't kidding. What blew my mind, and we talked about this on the topic of Trek, is for the Star Trek story toys and to a degree.
They moved around company to company?
No. They got for $5,000, this company, Mego, got the license and then ended up making a mint.
Well, that's because they actually turned them into decent toys. They weren't just stickers over other toys.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. But I'm just saying that was a deal. And there were even the Star Wars toys. Kenner got a deal.
Yeah. Interesting details in there about the successes and failures of a lot of these things. It was very interesting.
The Barbie one was interesting.
Yep. Lego.
The Star Trek.
I didn't realize Lego was almost extinct, 15 years ago or so.
Or a couple times.
Yeah.
Looking bleak. But yeah, Lego was cool. Yeah. Anyway, go check it out. I highly recommend that.
It'd be fun to do one on the electronic toys as well. Like, how did Nintendo get to be, do the Nintendo story. I did listen to that on Jonathan Strickland's. I think he did a 3-part series on Nintendo.
You know what? You could probably, there's probably a lot of shady deals in that too. I would love, you could start with a Atari, old home game.
Yep,
and,
yep.
Oh man, we should contact those people.
You want?
You know what? We'll edit this out so nobody will know.
Hey, might be a podcast interview. You don't know.
Yeah.
Who does your research? How do you get a hold of these people?
We'll do one called The Toys We Made.
The Toys We Broke. The Toys We Took Apart and Couldn't Put Back Together. And got in trouble.
Got a whole long list, longer than my arm, of those toys.
My dad wasn't happy when I took the TV apart.
No, son, don't touch the casket.
All right, this show is brought to you by, where's our Patreon music? There we are. This show is brought to you by you wonderful patrons. Thank you very much. You keep the show going. It is a costly endeavor and seems to creep up every year, from hosting to security to software upgrades. But thank you. Thank you for your kind donations. You help keep this going and offset many of those costs. Thank you to Kyle Nishioka, Avner Braverman, Ben Vaughn, Mike Wills, Megapodtastic. Isn't that one word? Why do we have just two words in here?
I don't know. I hit complete, fix it.
Darn autocorrect. Night Gig Studios, Gary Lindros. Isn't Gary Lindros one word?
Let's fix that.
John Clifford, Leon. Isn't Leon two words? John right. Noble, Chris MC.
That John Noble?
Not that John Noble. Alexis Duran, Saturday Morning Media, Steve Therian, Yorga Shrawin, and we that need your name here. Yes, that Yorga Shrawin. That Yorga Shrawin, who sends us postcards, and we send him postcards.
Yes, I got your postcard, by the way.
Did you get all three of them? Did you get the Paris postcard yet?
Yes,
they were sent out of order. All right,
but I got
good.
One from Rome, and I appreciate you speaking for the Pope.
Yeah, thanks. The Pope says hello. Sends his blessings. You can actually get your souvenirs at the Vatican gift shop, blessed by the Vatican, and then they'll send them for you. So,
really?
I'm not sure what it means if you get a certificate of authenticity on a blessing. It sounds kind of like when they were selling the talents and Martin Luther said that maybe they need more money to buy another Sistine Chapel. I'm not sure. But
yeah,
I'm not going to go into religious history at this point. It's not what this show is about.
You already put your foot in it.
Yeah, I know. I didn't think they were going to let us into the Vatican for what nonsense we were pulling. If you want to become a patron, you can go to patreon.com/technoramapodcast. There's normally a link at the bottom of the screen. Ding.
Ding, ding, ding.
Video engineer is listening and watching something else at the moment. This show apparently isn't very exciting.
Pay attention to us.
The Patreon, there it is. Patreon.com/Technorama Podcast. It is up. And we would love if you could, for as little as $1 a show, and get this, if we don't produce a show, you don't pay. So there was one whole show in May that was very easy.
That's a deal.
It's a deal.
You got a deal. Yeah.
Yep. You got a heck of a deal, and we still ended up paying for hosting. So our fault. Thank you very much. Let's take the music out of there before the guy who's doing the riff on the guitar hurts himself. And that brings us to the media corner. Correct?
Yeah.
Welcome to Blockhead Video.
Hey, where can I find some good information about music and TV and videos and things?
Over here in the media corner.
Over here.
Is it just me, or does it sound like he's been smoking a lot more lately?
Over there. My throat hurts.
Getting old sucks, even for the kid in the... He's like Bart Simpson. He'll forever be in that video store. He's going to be trapped. All right, we have from Engadget.com a story about Stranger Things, one of our favorite Netflix series, Netflix originals.
Absolutely.
Stranger Things is getting a prequel, but not one you'll be able to stream on Netflix. Instead, a novel is scheduled to be released next spring that will center on Eleven's mother, Terry, at the MK Ultra program. Deadline reports, it will be written by Gwenda Bond, whose other titles include a trilogy about young Lois Lane. Oh, another tie into Superman. Wow, we are just
getting Superman and NASA tonight.
We're getting lucky with the cross references tonight.
We're going to change the title of this show to Superman and NASA.
Right. Superman in space. Yeah. Oh, wait, that just... Gwenda Bond writes, it's about Eleven's mother. She tweets on Twitter. There's a couple of things you can look at if you follow the show notes through. Two other books will be released this fall. A behind-the-scenes companion book titled Stranger Things, The World Turned Upside Down, the official behind-the-scenes companion, and a gift book geared toward young readers that will offer advice, this is quote, advice, wisdom, and warning from the Stranger Things world. Don't swallow worms. Don't take pet Demogorgons home. What's the advice?
Yeah. I don't know. That's a good start.
Don't hang out at the arcade.
Stay upside.
Stranger Things is going into its third season, has been nominated for a number of Emmy Awards and Golden Globes, as I'm sure you're all aware. And though a fourth season is almost certain in the cards, it's unclear what is in store for the series beyond that. In an interview last year, Stranger Things creators Matt and Ross Duffer said the fourth season could be the show's final. We're thinking about a four-season thing and then out, said Ross.
Well, the kids, they could be getting older and stuff. What they should do is maybe, well, it's up to them. It's their story, but it'd be cool if they ended the series and then later on they had like a movie-length story to go along with it or something. Ooh. As they got older.
Stranger Things goes to college. Kind of like when Laverne and Shirley went to California.
Stranger Things, Saved by the Bell.
Ow. No.
Zach.
All right. We also have a link to a video. We don't often do this because we don't play videos on this show, but every live action Superman ranked from worst to best. And I am just going to start with the worst.
Okay. Who do you think the worst is?
The worst is, well, I already watched the video. Did you?
Yeah, I did.
All right. Then I'm going to maybe see if we can get away with a little bit of audio on this. Hold on.
Okay.
Oh, man, it's not going to play, is it? I think it's on mute. It's on mute. All right.
Has been as defined by his portrayals off the page
this
as
is,
he
this is like
them.
One of the
whether it's the radio show introducing Kryptonite. And
we have to keep talking so we don't get in trouble for stealing YouTube content on YouTube.
Wait, what's talking?
I mean, they cover Henry Cavill, they covered George Reeves, they covered Christopher Reeve, they covered Smallville. It's pretty cool how many they've done on here. So. Superman Returns.
Superman Returns isn't just terrible. It's the kind of terrible that makes you wonder how it happened.
I'll leave you with that. Okay.
Wait. So I take a little offense at this. Not
No,
not
but saying, they said Brendan Routh did a wonderful job as an actor.
Yes, he did. What was the title of the thing? It was every live action Superman ranked from worst to best.
Yeah.
I don't think that he was the worst.
It was probably Superman the worst Superman movie. Right. Yeah. But they also covered Smallville, Superboy. Even the two actors who did Superboy were in there. So if you want a fun watch, it's about 7-8 minutes long, I think. Go in there and watch that. It's a whole lot of fun.
I will say this. I've mentioned this before. The Superman classic, there's a couple of YouTube videos that got animated.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of in the style of the Max Fleischer, kind of his own style too, of Superman. And one has Bizarro and one has Superman saving stuff. Anyway, John Newton, who played Superboy, is actually the voice of Superman in the animated comic. And Jennifer Newton, his wife, plays Lois Lane.
Oh, neat.
Yeah. So it's very short. He wanted to do an homage to Superman, the Max Fleischer stuff. And it's fun watch. If you haven't seen it, I'm going to see if I can dig up the links and put them in the show notes. It's by Rob Pratt, and I love it. I was Twitter campaigning before Man of Steel came out, the first one.
Yeah.
The Man of Steel. And I was like, Warner Brothers needs to get this guy to do like a cartoon before the movie. That would have been awesome. But nobody replied. So there's that. But anyway, I'll put a link. Put a couple of links to those videos in the show notes. So please go check those out. You'll love them.
Sounds good. Yep. We will look forward to it. We're going to wrap it up because somebody just rang the doorbell.
What?
Yeah, okay. We got somebody at the door. Donna, do you want to go check that out? Okay. It might be our Airbnb guest looking for something. I don't know. So our question of the week this week is, what superpower would you not want?
The farting one.
I am going to say I don't want to be able to see through walls. Oh, they just left. I don't want to see through walls. There's just too many things that we don't want to see. Speaking of seeing, if you could see through my head, I'm going to move it just for a second. You can see there's a NASA patch on the wall, right?
Right, yes, I see it right up there
on camera.
Yep.
Down below there, there's that little shiny thing. Do you know what that is? I think I showed you when you were here.
The light on? What is that?
No.
Is that your NFC thing?
Nope. No, that's on the other door. It's a little patch about 2 inches by 2 inches of the foil that they put on the outside of satellites.
Oh, man. How'd you get that?
Laura Burns brought that to me about a year ago.
Oh.
She stopped by and she gave me the NASA patch, and it's got multiple layers in there. There's this copperish colored foil on the outside, and then there's like different fabrics. It's kind of cool.
That's awesome.
Yep.
I'd like to have something like that. I want a space shuttle tile.
A big silicon brick.
Yeah. I got to outdo you. I need something. Yeah. I need a brick.
We saw those. Where were we? We were at, was it the British History Museum? The British Museum in London. I think they had one of the silicon tiles. No, there's a science museum that was right next door. We went to a couple museums. I don't remember where exactly we were, but I think it was in the Science Museum in London that had one of those. I saw one recently. All right, that takes us to the end of the show. I am going to play that wonderful music that takes us out. Thank you for joining us. Thank you for spending some time with us. It's been a wonderful time. Thanks, Craig, for hanging out.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Visit our Amazon page for recommended books, toys, and other fun stuff. We do get a little kickback from that. I think it's been years since we saw any money from that. I don't know how much money you got to get before they cut you a check anymore, but that's always appreciated if you want to look there. You can call the listener line, as I mentioned earlier, 707-530-2428. Email us, technorama@checkchat.com, or find us on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube. You know where all that good stuff is. Until next time... tell a friend about Technorama, and Craig is going to... do you remember how to do this? It's been a long time. Give us a binary high five.
Come on, let me try it. 101?
That's correct. You win! Yes. Ding, 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 ding.